All right, preaching time. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2 today. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's talk this afternoon and next Friday afternoon about prayer. This is part of the Christian Character and Action series. Most of what we've already discussed has been public action, visible action, or interaction, if you will. But this is a matter of mostly private Christian conduct and mostly between the individual and the Lord. So let's start by reading the passage here in 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, and starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Okay? And you don't realize how important and wonderful that is until it's gone, right? In all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Heavenly Father, today we pray that you'll help us to learn the importance of drawing nigh unto you, trusting you, Lord, to hear our prayers and to take action according to your will as we pray for a quiet and peaceable life. Show us, Lord, what it means and how we ought to pray, what we ought to pray for. And, Lord, most importantly, help us to learn how to have a relationship with you in our prayer life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, first of all, this, I hope you noticed, it's an exhortation, what we just read from the Apostle Paul. It's actually the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul who is urging everyone to pray. He's calling on everybody to pray. And it's not a national day of prayer in a calamity. It's not an urgent hour of prayer as something has gone wrong in the church or in the home. This, what he's talking about here, this is a daily course or conduct called for on the part of the Holy Ghost as he addresses every single saved man and woman in the body of Christ. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. In that word supplications, you can see the word supply, right? There's a clue what that means. So it means don't take for granted that you are going to be fed. Don't take for granted that you will have housing. Don't take for granted that you will be employed. Don't take for granted that you will be healthy. All of these things that may be in your life just a few weeks ago, maybe in someone else's life a year ago or two, but how quickly these things we think are secure and certain prove to be very insecure and very uncertain. Maybe through our times of trouble and maybe through our times of loss, we learn that I wasn't really the one taking care of things. I wasn't really the one supplying myself and my family. Maybe I'd better get back to every day looking to God for supply. And then secondly, he says prayers. You say, well, how is prayer a type of prayer? Well, let me give you the other two, and then we'll go get back to prayer. The next one is intercessions. To intercede is to pray on behalf of another. Okay? We say, any prayer requests, raise your hand. Any prayer needs, make them known now. Okay, let's take out our prayer list. Let's go through it one by one. We're praying for one another, right? Praying for the needs of others. And so that's what we're doing. We're not praying for God to supply our needs and through intercession. We're praying and asking God to supply the needs of others. That's intercessory prayer. And then he says giving of thanks. And that could take a whole day doing that because, that could occupy us through the hours of the night even. Forever and forever, we will be giving thanks to the Lord for all the things that he has done for us. So if supplication is asking God for supply, if intercession is asking on behalf of others, if thanksgiving is going back over the things God has supplied and saying thank you, prayers would be just communicating with the Lord, just talking with the Lord, just spending time with the Lord. Here's a good example. If you're in a marriage relationship and the only time that you ever speak to your spouse is when you want them to give you something or to do something for you, that's a pretty bad relationship, isn't it? If you're in a friendship and the only time you communicate with your friend is when you're asking for something, it's probably not going to be a very long-lasting or meaningful friendship. And how sad that for many of us, the only time we ever go to God is when we have something that we want. The only time we ever go to God is when we have a list of the things that we want him to do for us. And when we say it's prayer time usually means in our thinking that it's a time to ask for stuff. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get to the place where we wanted to talk to the Lord like we want to talk to our best friend? Or talk to the ones that we love? Wouldn't it be great if we could just spend our day in communion with and in fellowship with God? And we didn't have these set aside times for asking and for requesting. We just had these all the times for our speaking and talking and communicating and being with each other. And he says here in verse number 1, be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings. For kings. Now we understand that when Paul asked for prayer for kings, these were kings that were putting him in chains, in prisons, and eventually to death. When Peter mentioned this, he was speaking about monarchs and governors and ruling powers, dictators who were doing great harm to the church. And he said, pray for them. Pray for them. And for all that are in authority. So it might not be a king. There's not very many kings left in the world, is there? It might be a county council. It might be a local health authority. It might be a health authority. It might be some doctor who one month he says, oh, it's not a big problem. And the next month he says, oh, we're all going to die. One month he says, I don't really see this virus being a big deal. And the next month, oh, it's a great big deal. Quarantine the world. And I'm supposed to put confidence in that man? Anyway, there's people who have authority and it affects your life. Okay, and they're not godly people. It might be a policeman, it might be a school teacher, it might be a pastor, it might be a parent. There's all kinds of people in our life to whom we could point and say that person, they're not really what God wants them to be. So what do? We say, so I don't have to do what they say because they're ungodly, right? Well, obedience is not our topic today. Prayer is our topic today. If we devoted the time that we spend criticizing unworthy authority figures and spent that time instead in praying for authority figures, they might become more worthy. If we spent the time that we spent criticizing their bad decisions, if we spent the time in praying for God to help them to make right decisions, they might make better decisions. Amen. So what I'm saying is, it's easy for a church. Here's another example. Easy for a church to criticize the pastor, but what if that church was praying for the pastor in such a way that God helped him, and there wasn't so much to criticize after that? Okay, young people, it's easy to criticize your parents for making what you think are wrong decisions or acting wrongly in a situation or circumstance. Well, how often do you pray for your parents, for God to make your dad the best dad anybody ever had, and make your mother the best mother anybody's ever had? How about that? So the Lord says that we pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And here is what we pray for next. He says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. A quiet and peaceable life. As a church, we don't get involved in political matters. We don't use the pulpit for political purposes. We don't bring in candidates for office. We don't allow people to use our assembly times to promote candidates for office. Though we do encourage everybody to be informed and to vote, we don't spend our preaching and teaching time informing on those matters. That being said, the purpose of prayer here is not that we might have a better economy, but look, a quiet life. That's what we want. Now, they may not go together. We don't pray that we might have this man in office or that man in office, because I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know how that man might turn out. I don't know what direction that man's going to go once he gets elected. Every time there's a campaign coming up, we simply say, God, please give us the elected officials. Give us the leaders who will appoint for us the judges who will just leave us alone. Let us have quiet lives. Let us have peaceable lives. Don't give us any warmongers. Don't give us any leaders that are so soft that crime and violence take over our cities and our towns. God, you know. You know we want to live quiet lives. We want to live peaceable lives. Well, if everybody who says that they're saved, and I'm not going to argue who is saved or not in this message, if everybody who says they're saved spent every single day praying for our authority figures, that they be guided and directed by God so that our paths were quiet and our paths were peaceful, what a true difference it would make. It really would. And then he says, in all godliness and honesty. See, we're not praying for a stock market surge, nor are we praying for a stock market collapse. We're not praying for industry to flourish, nor praying for the workers of the world to unite. We're not praying that way. We are praying that the leaders of our nation would direct things so that it's easier to be godly than it is to be ungodly. So that it's more rewarding to be godly than to be ungodly. That there's more advantage seen as our young people look to the future in being godly than in being ungodly. And couldn't we use some honesty? Honesty in every area of authority. What an answer to prayer that would be. What if we didn't have those things simply because we didn't pray for them. Now in verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved," that is his will, "and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, these are great verses here, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. These are great verses on salvation, on soul winning. Great verses also refuting the horrific errors of Calvinism, which say that Jesus only died for a certain select groups of people. But in the context, the verses are not about salvation, not directly, not immediately. In the context, looking at the whole context, the verses here are about prayer. Now, so watch how this works. He says, "For this is good." What is? That we pray for them who are in authority. That's good. "For this is good." What is? That we pray for kings. "For this is good." What is? That we pray and make intercession for all men. Why? Verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Okay, now look at the end of verse number 2. Godliness, honesty. Look at verse 4, "Come unto the knowledge of the truth." Verse number 4, "Be saved." All right, so do you have men on your job who are not saved? What did the Lord say? "The first thing I want you to do is pray for them." Do you have people in your neighborhood? They're not saved. What did the Lord say? "The first thing I want you to do is pray for them." You have people that you go to school with? They're not saved. Maybe there's people you go to church with who are not saved. What is the first thing God said, "I want you to do"? "I want you to pray for them. I want them saved. I'm the Savior. You're not the Savior. I want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm the truth. You're not the truth." Okay, now, we are for tract distribution, aren't we? Amen? But I want you to understand that tract distribution without the Holy Spirit of God drawing the soul to Jesus Christ and the Savior transforming that sinner into a child of God, well, that tract distribution is not going to get the job done alone. We are for evangelizing house to house, door to door. We are for evangelizing by lifting up our voice in the public space. We are for evangelizing by speaking to others face to face. Do you know what God said? Before we get to that, verses 3 and 4, the first thing I want you to do is pray for those men. The first thing I want you to do is pray for those women. I want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. You've got to pray for them. I want them to be saved. You've got to pray for them. A church that is strong in prayer and weak in evangelism is a church that is lacking. And on the other end of that spectrum, a church that is strong in evangelism but they're weak in prayer, that's a church that is lacking. Okay, and then notice what he said in verse number 4. I want them to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In verse number 2, he said, I want you to pray for all that are in authority, and I want you to pray with regard to godliness and honesty. Okay, now think about this, brother, sister, think about this. Let's say that you're going out and you're going to witness to people who are gathered outside a large sporting event. And so there's thousands of people there. Those thousands of people, they can be reached with the gospel if you live in a land that has not outlawed the public proclamation of the gospel. You better not take it for granted if the laws where you are allow you to do that. Okay, don't take it for granted. You better pray that those men in power, those women in power, don't take away your liberty to go out in public and proclaim the truth. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to distribute literature and to knock on doors. Well, in many parts of the world, that can't be done because of those who are in authority. The wrong leaders, they build barricades. They erect obstacles that prevent the truth from reaching people who need the truth. So you better pray. You better pray. I don't care if you like your president or you don't like your president. You better pray. Vice president, Senate, Congress, judicial system, these lawmakers, they affect a lot more than just economics. They affect a lot more than borders and trade. If we don't pray, cities, counties, towns, nations will become so restricted by the laws put in place that it will be very, very, very difficult for you to get the truth of salvation to people that God wants to save. You better pray for them that are in authority. Now, suppose you decide, I'm going to go house to house. Let me go house to house, knock on this door, knock on this door, walk up the driveway, knock on this door, walk up that driveway, knock on this door. Do you know why people did that in the 1940s, America, 1950s, 1960s, 70s, America? There were a lot of people at that time ready and willing to receive the good news of salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because they believed in God. You know why? They believed the Bible was the Word of God. Do you know why? They believed one day they were going to stand before maybe the Lord Almighty. Maybe they thought he was called the man upstairs, depending on their attitude. But still, they knew it was appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So do you know why it's so hard to get the truth of salvation to those people behind those doors today? Because the teachers who had authority over them for 10, 12, 13, 15 years taught them Darwin's evolutionary lies, the lies of socialism and communism and atheism and humanism. So today when you knock on the door, the man answering that door has had authority figures all his life building walls between his heart and the truth, pouring darkness into his soul so that he's blinded to the very basic facts of God, the existence of God, and the gospel truth. So you'd better pray. Prayer is so important. You better pray. Oh, it's easy to criticize the government schools. Well, what if we spent that time instead praying for God's light to break into the hearts of those teachers, those administrators, those school board members? Most of it is anti-Bible from top to bottom. You know that, but is it because of a lack of prayer? Will it ever change without prayer? Look at our government. Look at these laws that they're passing these days. Look at these rules they're putting in place. They favor the atheist. They favor the perverted. They favor the unholy. They favor everything that is not right in the eyes of God. That's true. It's true. But instead of spending hours a day reading articles to confirm what we already know, that the world is messed up, what if we spent that time praying for God to direct the hearts of the leaders, to direct people into leadership who would promote godliness and honesty? Why? Why? Because God wants people saved. And if the wrong people are in power, it's harder for people to get saved. And if the saved people are not praying for the people in power, it makes it harder for people to get saved. All right, back to our passage. Look at verse 5. The Bible says there, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men." Who is it? The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Okay, now notice verse 4. Who does God want to be saved? All men. The Bible does not say all elect men, all pre-selected men, or all predetermined women. The Bible says all. So I think we'll go with the Bible, amen? And the Bible says here that he gave himself a ransom for all. So the atonement, therefore, was not limited. Not limited. You say, well, doesn't all in that verse mean just all the elect? Well, doesn't one God mean just a bunch of gods? Doesn't one mediator mean lots of mediators? Doesn't the man Christ Jesus in this verse actually mean Santa Claus? Look, if you're going to read the Bible and not believe what you read, why are you reading it? If you're going to teach the Bible and then teach that it wasn't written correctly because it doesn't agree with you, then why teach it? We're going to stay with the Bible. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And he intends for that to be testified in due time. Come on, stay in the context now. We're not going to talk about Calvinism today. We're not even going to talk about salvation today. Let's stay in the context. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. What do men need supplied to them more than anything else? Salvation. Prayers, intercession, praying for God to supply somebody else with what they need. Starting with the king, and then for all that are in authority. Why? Verse number 5, God wants people coming to him through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Jesus died on the cross that God the Father might save any sinner that comes to him by God the Son, Jesus Christ. To be testified. Now look, to be testified in due time. Well, there are millions of people in North Korea, and it is forbidden by threat of imprisonment or death to testify to them. You understand? Countries that are dominated by Islam, in many of them. Countries dominated by Hinduism or atheism or communism. There are millions, possibly billions of people in the world who do not have street preachers, sign holders, billboards, churches, Christian radio, door knocking, or tract distribution. Why? Why? Because it's forbidden by those who are in authority in those places. Come on. So if God wants everybody to be saved, where does everybody have a chance to be saved? Where men are free to preach the gospel. Where are men free to witness for Jesus Christ? Okay, where those authorities say it's allowed, right? Or where it's prohibited or forbidden, they're not going to be able to do that. So if you're living in a free land today, you look at Kuwait and you say, well, it's not all that free, but it's freer than it is in Saudi Arabia, isn't it? So we can thank God for that and pray that God will pray for the authorities here that we can keep doing what we're doing, what we're able to do. Okay? But if you're living in a free country today, you might be finding out that it's not as free a land as you thought it was. And so this is a great time to take this to heart. Do you think you can go to church anytime you want to? Maybe not. Do you think you can preach anytime you want to? Maybe not. Do you think you can just go door knocking anytime you feel like it? Maybe not. You better pray. You better pray every day, every single day for the leaders of your nation, state, county, city, church, school. You bet. I mean, man, thank God I go to Philippines. They're preaching, they're teaching those kids in the school. They're giving Bible studies in the school. Used to be able to do that in the U.S. Philippines, you better pray for those people in authority that it stays that way. Amen. All right. So you just better pray that they will leave Christians alone and keep us free to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the more messed up the government becomes, the harder it is to get truth to the people who need the truth, and the fewer people who are going to get saved. And the fewer people get saved, the more the government gets messed up. And the more the government gets messed up, the fewer people get saved. It's a vicious circle. You understand? Over time, the lack of winning souls to Jesus Christ corrupts and destroys the government. And it just keeps going and going. So the Lord, his solution to this is not political activism. You know, stand up, riot in the streets. No, that's not God's way. It's prayer time. His solution is not contributing more to the campaign of ungodly people or the people that are not as ungodly as the other guy. The Lord's solution to all of this is more time in prayer. All right, look at verse 7. Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Okay, now don't lose the context. We're still in the same context. I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray. Come on now. You don't have a better example of this in than you do in the Apostle Paul here. He says, I am a preacher of the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem sinners. I am an apostle proclaiming to the world boldly, unashamedly, with every ounce of my strength. I am proclaiming to the world that men can be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I've lost years of my life in prisons. I've lost how many opportunities to speak to how many men because of a ruler of a synagogue or a town's clerk or a soldier or a governor or an emperor. Could I say it this way? I'm going to be the Apostle Paul here for just a minute. I'm the best preacher that God ever had, and much of my life, I don't get to preach. I'm the boldest witness for Jesus Christ that he's ever had. Everyone who ever preaches publicly, they'll point to me. Everyone who stands boldly in a crowd and speaks up for Jesus will point to me. I'm the trailblazer here. And I'm writing from a prison cell. I got here in chains. I'm going to die here, in fact. If you want souls to be saved, you better pray that preachers stay free. If you want souls to be saved, you better pray that your government leaders don't create laws making it illegal to witness. I tell you, if we get nothing else out of these times that we've had, these times of restriction where we were locked down, if we got nothing else from these times of losing liberties, what we ought to learn is not to trust the government less. What we ought to learn is to pray more. Pray more fervently. Stop taking for granted going to church every Friday afternoon. Stop taking for granted being able to go out in public and pass out gospel tracts. Stop taking for granted the liberty to speak up and tell others about Jesus Christ. You better pray. You better pray. Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. He says, except for right now, I'm in jail. I don't lie, he says. But right now, I don't even have anybody I can talk to. But he says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. Communist China? Yes. Yes. Restricted and oppressed Pakistan? Yes. Illegal to be a Christian Islamic cultures? Yes. Yes. How about in the land of the not as free as you thought? How about in the home of the not as brave as we said we were? The good old USA. How about under the stars and stripes with a Bible in our hand? How about we pray everywhere, because the quiet life can disappear in a hurry. A peaceable life can disappear in a hurry. Liberty and freedom can disappear in a hurry. And it's harder for people to be saved when they can't hear the truth than when they don't have that opportunity because of the authorities. And it's harder for people to hear the truth where that truth is forbidden or restricted. Every day, we've got to pray. Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. You say, well, that's charismatic. It's Bible. It's Bible. You say, that's what they do in those tongues churches. No, it's Bible. It's Bible. You know what that little child does? That little child doesn't have to say, Mama, I want you to hold me close. That little child doesn't have to say, I'd rather be near you, near your heart than way down here on the floor. All that child has to do is lift up its hands. Doesn't even have to say anything. When that child is afraid, when that child is hurt, when that child feels the least trace of insecurity, it lifts up those hands. And down come the hands of a loving father. Down come the hands of a loving mother. Uplifting, uplifted, drawn close. And here we are. Here we are. Everything's okay now. Everything's better now. You know what the Lord said? I'm finding out something about your heart. When things get tough, you reach your hands out to the government. When you get scared, you reach your hands out to the news media. When you want to know what to do, you reach your hands to the internet. None of those things can get you up off the floor. None of them can calm that thing that's going on in your heart. Lifting up, not out, up, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Okay? You say, why did he say without wrath? Well, think about it. It's hard to pray for the president if you hate him. It's hard to pray for the Congress when you despise them. It's hard to pray for the law enforcement officials, the judiciary, the school system, etc. It's hard to pray for people that you have no love for. It's hard to pray for people that you have no respect for. But God said, get all that stuff out of your heart, because if I don't answer your prayers and help those people to do right, you don't have a chance with them. You're sunk. You're done. No peace. No quietness. Don't hate your president. Don't hate your senators. Don't hate your congressmen. Don't hate your judges. Don't hate your school board. Don't hate your county administrators. Pray for them. Pray for them that God will help them to do what is right for his church and for his witness and for lost people. Even if they don't know him and don't plan on doing right, pray. Say, well, I don't see what good it would do. And what did he say? Without wrath and doubting. Why do you doubt the effectiveness of praying? Don't trust the president to do right when you pray for him. Trust God to move on his heart to do right when you pray. Don't trust the administrators. Don't trust the authorities that they're going to do right because they want to do right. Just trust God to answer your prayers, to open doors, to provide and protect liberty and freedom. I don't want to get off track and talk about political stuff. I don't want to get off track and talk about any current events stuff. I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago, Christians were going to prison for preaching the gospel. And you know what Paul said to do? He didn't say, burn the prisons down. He didn't say, assassinate the leaders. He didn't say, rise up and revolt. No, you know what he said? You had better pray if you want me free to preach. If you want to be free to preach. If you want to see people saved, you better learn to pray for kings and for all that are in authority that we may lead a peaceful or quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. It can disappear in a hurry and never come back. Pray, Christian, pray. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do admit to you, Lord, that we fail to draw close to you the way we ought to trust you to make things the way they ought to be, just to move leaders and authorities in the direction that will benefit your church, the Christians that love you. And so, Lord, help us to remember what we've heard today, what we've read in your Holy Bible, the importance of praying, so that we can continue to preach as much of as freely as we can where we are, even here in Kuwait, Lord. Well, you do have some restrictions, Lord, and not sure that we'll be able to open any more doors than what we're going through now here. But, Lord, we thank you that we can pass out gospel tracts. We thank you, Lord, that we have some safety in doing that. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to protect those who go out in the streets, out in the public places, and take their chances passing out gospel tracts. Father, we pray for those also knocking on doors. We pray, Lord, that you'll direct them to the doors of people whose hearts you've already prepared. Father, help us to trust that prayer really does have the right effect. It really does get something done, that it's not in vain. It's not a waste of our time. In fact, it's help us to believe that it's the most important thing that we do, and that we do it the very start of every day, and that we thank you at the end of every single day. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us to desire to draw close to you every single day, every single all through the day, just to enjoy being close to you, and not to neglect you, not to just simply come to you only when we want something. Help us to enjoy your company, your fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.